Hi everybody, today I'm very lucky because I have the chance to talk with the drummer of a so famous band named Chicago, with Wally Reyes Jr. Hi Wally.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Very happy to be here.
You are actually on tour across the US. The best way to listen to Chicago for me is during live show. What is the part of improvisation into live show and how does it come?
With Chicago,
yeah,
you know, we have two different sets, a 90-minute set and a two-hour set with intermission. A lot of the songs are not about improvisation. You know, they're little windows.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like I parallel a lot of things, kind of like cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Since you're French, but I believe I know the French cuisine very well. But you know, for example, I go and get a steak tartare poêlé and I don't want improvisation. Okay. I want that. And the next night I want it because it was good yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I want the same.
Okay.
The same and the same. So consistency and improvisation are two different things.
Mm.
There are windows, like we have a drum solo, percussion solo in the show. Mm. And sometimes there are drum fills.
You can do jams.
Yeah. No, we don't have jams in the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like maybe a drum fill that I might do takatakatukutum boom or takatong or tukutukum pam pam. You know, different phrases to bring in the band on one.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, consistency is a very professional thing. It's like a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
When I go sushi, sometimes when I go to a sushi bar or a restaurant, I get, you know, say like the tuna and the yellowtail. And I know what I want because that's they have to be consistent.
Yeah.
You cannot improvise and go, what is this?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not yellowtail. That's something else. Go, well, I improvise. Well, no. And so, but sometimes I actually tell the sushi guy, hey, how about an improvisation? Prepare something special that is you. Oh, really? And they love it. It's like jazz. So jazz, there's a lot of improvisation in jazz. Within solos, Jimmy, the horn players, sometimes Lou, there's windows for little improvisations that are not the same. But usually is we play the hit songs.
Everything is prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You won, you know, like today at breakfast, you know, right before here, I ordered two eggs of harissi, potatoes, and a toast. I don't want improvisation on the toast. I want meat toast. I want that. That's what I'm paying for. So you give the people the soundtrack of their lives as close as possible. Of course, it's not going to be just like the record because artists grow.
Yeah.
Things tend to change a little bit. You go to see Paul McCartney. He doesn't sound like he sounded in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Neither does Sting.
Yeah.
And many people change the keys.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's always a different things between bands and singers. And at the very beginning of Chicago, the studio of the band was too small to record live session with all the musicians. How can we do to include live remixes or classics in a next album during a tour, how the band built this kind of album? Because you had to keep the master safe to produce the next album. How do you record so much instrument?
The recording process always changes. The recording process, I guess, for everybody.
Hmm.
Including the Beatles, they recorded in four tracks. Now they're unlimited tracks.
Hmm.
And right now, during COVID, for example, we're doing a new album.
Yeah.
And we didn't gather in the studio all together like the first album or the second album or the 70s or the 80s or even the 90s.
Hmm. Yeah.
Now, during COVID lockdown, which was a year and a half, I learned how to record my drums really well, and I have a studio in my third floor.
Separate? Yeah,
they send me the files, and I add drums, and then we communicate like we're communicating right now.
Yeah.
Like the difference is right now, you're maybe the producer, and then I have, like right here, I have my drum set.
Yeah.
And I go, ram, pam, paga, do, go, tum, chikita, tum, chikita, and you go, no, not 16 notes. Can you use that more straight? Okay. Tum, ka, tum, ka. Yeah, that's it. Okay, let's do it. Click, click, click. Oh, let's do it a little slower. Click, click, click. Taka, tum, kum, ka, kum, kum. And I'm playing with the headphone with the music. I send it to them, and then the engineer. So basically, there's a central studio, which is the producer and the engineer, and all the tracks from wherever they are in the world. You can record today if you have a proper studio from anywhere. And we live all over the United States. I live in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, where my house is. Some of the guys are in Nashville. Some of them are in Sedona, Arizona.
Everywhere in the United States.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And they each have the capacity. Actually, a lot of times you can even record some things, like right here in the hotel room. Mm-hmm. If you have a great microphone and it's quiet, like right now, I put a do not disturb on the door and tell the maids, excuse me. Quiet, I'm recording, and they cooperate, and I can record a vocal track or a shaker.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It doesn't disturb. Doesn't disturb. Drums is a different story.
Yeah, sure.
It's actually one of the most difficult instruments to record, and there's a lot of samples and a lot of libraries today and all that that make it, you know, modern and effects. There's so many effects. In fact, I went to see the Beatles. Love in Las Vegas, Cirque du Soleil, and George Martin's son, you know who George Martin is, the producer of the Beatles. Mm-hmm. They remixed and because back then the tracks were done, everybody in four tracks, and it was like very little, and still sounded amazing. But I heard things that Ringo Starr did that I've never heard before, because they actually can remix and do things today. In today's technology, that was amazing. I ran and bought the CD, which I recommend, you know. So yeah, it's a very different new world today.
And that's the case with the very special box set album Chicago at Carnegie Hall, the complete deluxe edition. It's very strange because this sounds very modern. It's
To tell the truth, I still haven't heard ever, because that was like about
there is no differences in the level of the sound, you know.
I would say this, it's a different option of things that they didn't have back then. When the album finished, as far as Lee, maybe this is a better question for Lee. That is very involved in remixing and taking the album.
Yeah.
Many things that they did back then, you know, and I know for a fact that I can go back and go like, oh my God, if I would have had this, I'm not happy with the outcome and all that. It was what it was. It was a very echo room. A lot of things, maybe for the people, they don't realize it, but for them, it was difficult. They were young and they played, and a lot of things maybe went wrong that they, you know, they didn't realize. And when they finish, they wish many things, or, you know, sometimes you cannot go back and re-record and do it again properly. You do it and you do it. Like, for example, talking about Johnny Hallyday, one of our first concerts was at the Eiffel Tower, and a lot of things went wrong.
Yeah.
But in this modern era, the producer, and France was able to fix some mistakes that happened. Not back then in the 70s. So now what Lee wanted to do is actually give you another option to listen to what they did back then on a new situation.
The result,
I'd rather have options.
Yes.
I'd rather have options. You know, like, for example, we're using modern sound systems today and different microphones and all that. Yeah. And I like a lot of stuff that I hear in the 1950s and 1960s. It's like a sound because they use the room and all that. But it's a different option. People say, yeah, I don't like, you guys don't sound like the first record. Nobody does. No artist sounds like Santana. Doesn't sound like Abraxas. No. And when I saw Chicago in 1974, they were not sounding like CTA 1969 and 70.
Sure.
Yeah. Already in 1974. So, of course, why should they? Nobody sounds like, even if they want to do the same arrangement. So it's an option. So I tell everybody, if you want to hear the album from 1970, buy the record.
Sure.
Buy the record and listen to that record for the rest of your life. Yeah. You don't want no change. Then, you know, basically, you know, I say this to everybody. Mm. You know, if you're stuck on I Wanna Hold Your Hand with the Beatles.
Yeah.
Later on, you don't like the White Album, you don't like Let It Be, you don't like Sgt. Pepper, then listen to I Want to Hold Your Hand for the rest of your life.
Yes, you because on the streaming, the song is very compressed. It is very special. And we lost many things in the orchestration and the song in MP3 or MP4.
This is right. An MP3 is basically if we do an interview like this.
Yeah.
You know, you understand me, but this is not my real voice.
Yeah.
And by the way, if I had a better microphone, you can hear me even better. But this is the computer Mac microphone. Like right now, you have a microphone there. But I have microphones that are thousands of dollars. My voice will not be the same as now.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So it's the same thing with this. I record sometimes and it's a little compressed. And I like some of it because it's very defined. So you know, this is an option. And if I don't like the sound, I put my microphone in here. So there's a lot of options. Sometimes too many options, but then some people just don't like options.
And still about the sound, you did the choice to propose on your store 12 albums in vinyl. Is that the best way for you to listen the music in 2021 for you, the young generation?
I'm sorry again.
You propose on your store 12 albums in vinyl. Is that the best way for the young generation to listen the music for you, vinyl?
Well, you know, vinyl also is a way that a lot of people that are really, really connoisseurs, that's the French word, right?
Yeah.
Connoisseur. So just like food, you know, some people are like very, very picky and very specific. They know the history and everything about the food that they're eating and the restaurant where it was invented, was the first place. So in music right now, there's a lot of young people that are very interested in like the vinyl sound. And then, but the vinyl comes with the speakers.
Yeah.
And so right now, like, for example, I'm an old timer because I'm 65 years old, and there's a lot of systems today that the bass is way too loud, you know, like
too long,
wait a second. You know, this is so, you know, in my car, for example, I have a very nice system, but everything is like this.
Yeah.
I don't put the bass over here and the treble and all that. So it's almost like, let me hear how it is naturally coming, you know, bass, treble, mids, whatever. So then I can judge, you know, a lot of young people, vinyl is, it's a different experience.
And you can listen each different instrument.
Yes.
Very
and,
cool.
And you know, a good turntable. And of course, now they have the turntable.
Yeah.
And a turntable that you can actually connect to your laptop.
Yeah, yeah.
And record the vinyl quality of sound into your laptop. Not on an MP3.
Sure.
You know, I wouldn't recommend that because why? It's almost like you know, like putting something that is gourmet and bringing it down. But yeah, what happens is that there's because we're living in a fast world. For example, I use MP3s a lot.
Yeah.
For not for pleasure of listening, but for it's really quick to send you an MP3 here. Hey, check this out and or learn this song
here.
Right. Like if I have a rehearsal with my own band, I send 20 MP3s. Hey, this is the show. Learn it, this and that. But it's not like the best quality of sound.
Sure.
Now, if you want an MP4, it gets better. And then if not, I'll send on a file, a big file. It takes, you know, sound MP3, MP4.
Yeah.
And then there's like, wow.
Yeah. and concerning the vocals, I have been personally marked by the voice of Peter Stera. Can we say that the work of Peter has elevated the band to another kind of sound, maybe in the 80s?
Oh, Peter Cetera, I mean, you know, look, I was a Chicago fan before I joined Chicago. And Chicago had, me personally, I mean, even though a lot of people sang harmony and all that, they, it was like three singers and three different colors.
Yeah.
It was Peter Cetera on the high voice. And I'm talking about CTA, Chicago 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way, the 80s. Yeah. You know, at different eras, everybody, of course, things happened, life happened. Tragically, Terry was not there anymore. So then, of course, when Terry was not there anymore, the other guys step up. You know, and that's what this band does a lot. I mean, even when we've had situations currently that somebody's sick or whatever, we cover for each other.
It's always difficult to find the right voice for a band, a next voice. It's always a,
Well, it's not difficult if you get a versatile, like this band right now that we're having in 2021 is very versatile. Somebody, oh man, I have a sore throat, this and that. Don't worry, I'll cover. Lou covers for the lead singer, Neil, and Robert, and you know, and we all cover, and there's more singers. And hey, I can sing background also, but there's already, the background is there already. But if they ever need me, I'll do it. But I'm not doing it. I'm just playing drums. You name me on percussion, I play percussion too.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, we're a very versatile band. We're doing Chicago music, but we can do a lot more than just Chicago music. And these guys, when they started, Peter Cetera is an incredible voice. Like in the 80s with David Foster, they wrote some songs that it was perfect for Peter. And they became hits. When a song becomes a hit, it's all over the place, you know. But then when Terry came out with 25 or 6 to 4 or Free, you know. Terry, I want to do that. I mean, that voice was not Peter Cetera, but it was Chicago signature.
Yeah, because I was listening this very last day, the Genesis album, Calling of Station, with a complete different voice. And this album from the 19th is not included in their discography. I guess that they don't like the voice from the special album with the not Phil Collins included, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I cannot answer that because I don't, that's not my decision.
Yeah.
To, you know, when they do, this band has so many things going, you know, I don't know what decision is to what to sell and what to do and whatever. All I know is that every night we continue to play for sold out crowds and sometimes more than sold out. Like we just played a place in Joliet, close to Chicago, where the tickets were getting higher and higher and higher because like people wanted to come in. And so when we play next year, we're going to be playing the summer tour. We always play the big room.
Cool. Yeah.
And this year, you know, of course we started in June and because of COVID, I'm sure 1.5 years people would not go to the concert. we did big, big rooms that usually we would do with two bands, like Chicago Earth, Wind & Fire, Chicago Doobie Brothers, Chicago REO Speedwagon. And this last time we did Chicago only, and it filled up. We didn't need it a second band. So the rooms were packed. And what people want to hear is the story and the soundtrack of their lives.
Yeah.
I find that, and this band, it's, you know, we actually play, when we play 2 hours,
yeah,
there's still about 10 hits that we cannot do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's about Saturday in the Park. How can you explain that we, the listeners, always find happiness while listening to this hit single? Maybe because the message is simple, in fact, and universal. It's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you mean like the lyrics, the words, yeah. Saturday in the Park?
Yes, I have always these songs during the many days of the week. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they become almost like national anthems, you know, that does anybody really know what time it is? Yeah. Robert, yeah, that goes to show you, you know, Robert Lamb, some people go, oh, it's not the original band, this and that. But we have two guys in the band that are Rock and Roll Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's not a title that every band has. There's a lot of band that has four members.
Yeah.
Or five members. Mm. Nobody is in the Rock on the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Mm. Robert Lamb and Jimmy Pankow, Jimmy that plays trombone and arranges the horns and everything, you know, and he wrote a lot of hits with Chicago.
Yeah.
So basically Robert and him alone, the songs are memorable.
Yeah.
You know,
Chicago is a legend.
You know, how many times do you say that, whether you're married or you have a girlfriend or whatever, it goes like, are we going to dinner? It goes, just you and me, baby. Just you and me. And, you know, it becomes like a vocabulary. Mm-hmm. Does anybody really know what time it is? It's time to have a good time. It's time for the new year.
And does Saturday, anybody really know what time it is? In the park.
Saturday in the park.
Yeah.
So, like 4th of July is a huge celebration in the United States. Mm-hmm. But every Saturday in the United States, if it feels like it's the... thought it was the 4th of July. It's a special Saturday.
Magic.
Magic, yeah. Exactly.
Magic. Yeah.
So Robert, you know, and the thing that to me personally is that all these guys were young.
Yeah.
They were young when they played that music and came up with that music. I mean, imagine, you know, you haven't even lived your full life, but you already wrote standards in the world song. Mm-hmm. Writers that are standards, because the whole world, when we go to Mexico, in fact, I would say in Mexico, the Spanish audience sings all the songs word by word louder than the United States. And they do also in the Philippines. I mean, you have a stadium singing out loud all the words in English, and I'm on the drums going,
wow,
what? This is a show for me. I want to pay for this.
Sure. And my last question, because I know that your time is precious for today, is will we have the chance to see you in France, maybe in next future? No,
I hope so. We played, I think, in 2013, something like that. I forgot, for 14 or 13 in the Olympia.
Yeah,
we played the Olympia. Yeah. I right now, because of COVID, it interrupted.
You are in Las Vegas in February.
Do 2 weeks, but we play Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
Wow.
Sunday, we fly to a town close by, like Los Angeles or Phoenix. And then we come back to Vegas. And then, so we're there for 2 weeks. And then we continue on tour. We're going to be touring a lot next year.
Yeah.
But in the United States alone, we play, say, like Los Angeles and every town.
Yeah.
Around, and then we go north, and before you know it, we can play a whole year and people are still, actually, you go, when are you guys coming here? Why are you not playing Miami? Well, we played close to Miami, But you didn't play Miami, so it's almost like playing Paris. And then well, why didn't you play north of Paris?
Yes.
And what about south of Paris?
South of France. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, look, you're gonna have to travel a little bit and come to the Paris concert.
Yeah, sure.
I hope really that we play.
Me too.
It would be great to actually.
Me
as
too.
Much as I love France, because I've been all over France.
I hope so.
South to the center.
Yeah.
Ferran. The center of France. I've done a drum clinics there. Toulouse, Lyon. I mean, everywhere.
Marseille.
Oh, yeah. My God, Marseille is so beautiful. So, you know, I've been all over. We can actually would tour all of France. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, that will be almost like a world tour, because we have to do probably like Paris and then move on to another country and
move on
to do the biggest cities. And I hope that will happen.
I will be there. Sure, I will be there for sure.
Bravo. Yes, I would love, and I know that the audience over there is, they love Chicago.
Yeah.
And all over the world, really. I mean, I have it's a beautiful thing to see because of technology. You know, technology can offer many great things and some bad things, obviously. You know, there's fraud and many technology negative things. But the beautiful thing about technology is, like we're doing right now.
Yes.
The world is more connected. Like I have in my social media, people from all over the world. And it's almost like, oh, even if they're speaking in an international, like different language, there's a little thing that goes translate, please. And it translates.
So sorry for my English.
Oh, no. No, I'm sorry. I don't speak French. I should.
You said some words before the interview.
I say to the people, I speak three languages: Spanish, English, and music. Because music is a language. You have to learn how to read and write and speak
and
communicate through music. And, you know, talking about Marseille, I played with an artist a while back called Khaled.
Yeah.
He's from Algeria.
Yeah.
And when we did a tour in the United States, three or four of the musicians spoke French and Arabic. And I did not speak French well. So we communicated with sign language and music.
Yeah.
And the music
universal.
Was and the music, I realized, oh my God. So even the percussionists would tell me, Wally. I go, yes. No. Yeah.
Good. This is it.
So it's like music is a language, really.
Yes. So, Wally, I would like to thank you so much for your time, for your precious time, for your passion. And it was really a dream for me to have the chance to talk with you.
My pleasure. And, you know, we'll do another one. I know time, you know, I'm always here. You want to do part two or part three as live goes on?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
And there's more questions, or people want to know things that, you know, what people pay to come to the concert and listen to the music, because they're always interested what happens. Like now, where are you? I'm in Kansas City at the Intercontinental. And by the way, I just had the plumber fix the toilet because the water started coming out. So it's just like, you know, rock and roll is just like being human. So the toilet, the plumber came, and I'm going, oh my God, I have an interview like coming up, and they're fixing the toilet. And I'm going, how am I going to do this interview? So I was thinking of going to the balcony or going to the lobby. But then all of a sudden he came with a screwdriver and went like this and fixed the toilet. Voila.
And that's it.
And I went, okay, interview. And so, you know, those are the little things that happen, and we're on tour, and there's a lot of things that people are interested in. But at the end of the day, what matters is for us to play the soundtrack of people's life, that they live, that they cry, that they dance, that they play in their weddings, they play in their funerals, they played, and that's the power of music.
Yes, right, music helped me a lot when I was a teenager, I can tell you. You can't imagine how this is awesome.
Yeah. The world without music will be no fun.
Yeah, sure. Wally, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
All right.
Have fun. And I hope to talk with you another time, maybe.
Absolutely.
If you want. And one more time, thank you so much.
All right.
Have a nice day.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. À bientôt.
Bye.